Welcome to Disability Empowerment Now, Season 3. I'm your host, Keith Mavidi-Gincini. Today I'm talking to two of my favorite people in the whole wide stratosphere, Kat Stratford and Heat Buttrum. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. And it's okay if you mess up his name, just not mine.
Thank you. You got it right. Not many people guess it right. I maybe, you know, when I meet people, it generally is not a thing.
To be fair, I tried to purposely get it wrong every time just so I can make fun of you.
Yeah. This is why we've never had coffee together.
We'll get back to that soon enough, Trinity. So anyway, the last time you guys were here, last season feels like 5 years ago, Kat, you had made one of the best titles of a episode I have ever heard. You said, "Holy handsome," and I knew I needed to do "Holy handsome" part two. And so for any of the poor souls out there who haven't listened to "Holy handsome" part one, please fill us in on how you came up with that nickname.
Well, "Holy handsome" is a reference to my thoughts when I first met Heath back in 2018. That's canon, by the way, now. we met in 2018. So back in 2018, I was organizing. I was just a little baby organizer, just getting started in politics. And I was organizing this event where we were doing rides to the polls and we were trying to attract young people. So we had like a double-decker bus and two limos to get the word out. And so we had this like extravaganza. So I reached out to the Republican Party and the Democratic Party because I wanted it to be bipartisan. And I wanted to have, you know, swag and flyers from both parties on tables so that it wouldn't look like we were just trying to get them to vote Democrat. The Republican Party never called me back, but the Democratic Party did. And this guy named Heath Buttrum called me back. He told me he was the executive director of the Pima County Democratic Party. And so, and he was super nice. And he was just like, "Yeah, go ahead, come to the office, take anything you need just from the front desk. The front desk ladies will help you and like have a great event." And so, and we did have a great event. We made it onto the news. You know, it was unfortunate we were only able to show Democratic stuff and not Republican stuff, and we weren't able to provide that bipartisanship, but it was still great, and we made the news, and it was awesome. And afterwards, we went to the Pima County Democratic Party's official, like, watch party to see the election results come in, and it was awesome. And somebody was like, "Hey, do you want to meet Heath?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, yes, I have to thank this guy." Now, I am aware that he's the executive director of the Pima County Dems at that point. And his name is Heath Buttrum. So I know that he's an 80-year-old like farmer kind of guy.
It's not a young name.
It's just like Buttrum. But I was still like, you know, yeah, I got to meet this guy. I got to say thank you. And like, so I was super excited to say thank you. And so somebody leads me up to this very tall man who has his back turned to me, and I tap him on the shoulder. He turns around and I'm just like, "Holy handsome." Like, no, it was more like, "Holy handsome." Like it was, yeah. And it would only take him about 3 years to ask me out.
Only about three, yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Wait, why, Heath? Why did it take you 3 years to act out the love of your life? Oops, spoiler alert.
Well, it's because nobody wants to start dating in a Trump presidency. That's just bad conditions. That's a bad start.
It was also really bad timing.
Bipartisan here, but the jokes write themselves sometimes.
But yeah, after 3 years, we finally got our stuff together. He asked me, well, technically I kind of asked you out because you were really beating around the bush about it. You're really bad at it.
Well, it worked. It worked.
You're like a tall, handsome guy. Like, why? Like, just ask me for a drink.
Keith, do you lack confidence?
I mean, maybe. You know, I guess the only way to find out is I'll have to go around asking out more people to drinks just so, you know, we can work on that.
Try it. See how it goes. I know. You know what? I dare you. I double dare you. Anyways, I finally asked him out exactly 3 years ago to the day. Tomorrow is our anniversary of our first date. And like, just to like give you like a quick recap of this first date, like I fell in love head over heels on this first date. By the third date, I dropped the L word.
We must've walked 10 miles on that first date around downtown.
I don't know. It was before you got me an Apple Watch. Oh, sorry. Am I telling the story of our first date?
Yes.
Oh gosh. Okay. This is the greatest first date that anybody's ever been on in the history of first dates. I promise you, nobody has been on a better first date than this. I'm serious.
Go for it.
I don't think we ate though. Okay. So we met up at Chase Lounge, which is over on 4th Avenue. It's just a very casual little spot, but always popping, always fun. And so like we were just grabbing a couple brewski beers. This guy who I was kind of acquainted with, but don't know well, he sat down at our table and starts chatting with us, which was fine. Like, I'm very nervous. Like, this is somebody that I've worked with, that I've known for a few years, and it's just hard to get into date mode when you've worked with somebody, you know? So we're chatting and this guy sits down at our table and starts talking. Well, he starts talking about this well-known predator, somebody who has been outed as a sexual predator in town. I'm not going to say the name or anything. It rhymes with Shlomo. And he like, so this guy was just like a really established bad person. And this guy who had sat down with us is like defending him. So I'm just thinking to myself, I am going to show my whole ass right now, because like, there's no way that I'm letting like this guy just say this stuff. So I start pushing back and arguing with the guy, but you know, it's just like kind of bouncing off of him. Like these kinds of guys never really listen to women when they talk, you know what I mean? And so he just kept talking and Heath is just sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know tons about this guy outside of work. And I just imagined that he was thinking, this chick is crazy. I don't want to date some like souped up feminist or something like that. And so I was thinking, you know what? It's better that I get this out of the way on the first date and let him know this is who I am. I'm somebody who's not going to let this fly. Anyways, the argument's getting a little bit more heated. That's when Heath pipes in with this like forever famous line.
And it's all I said was, actually, you are. You know, there was this person that sat down at our table and I thought they were good friends. I didn't want to intercede. But, you know, at a certain point, he was just defending this person that had done, you know, awful things. And I just pointed that out to him. And he didn't really know how to respond to that.
No, he quietly like was just like, he finished up the conversation really quickly after that and left. And after that, I was just like, you know, I really need to like shake it off. And so we decided to like walk to another destination. I think we went to Congress after that, maybe. But so we wound up just like hopping from place to place to place. And the weird thing is we never got food, I don't think.
No, that probably would have been a good addition.
So we're just like, just for the record, we did not drive home either. But so at the end of the night, we ended up at Owl's Club, and that was where we had our first kiss, was just outside of Owl's Club, I think. right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we were like just walking all over downtown. I was showing him like all these cool buildings that I love downtown, and we wound up at Owl's Club. And as we were leaving Owl's Club, it must have been close to like midnight or after midnight. Like we were done for the night. And we kissed right outside this little bed and breakfast that's next door to the Owl's Club, and that was our first kiss, and it was absolute fireworks. And then we shared an Uber back to his
And
place.
now we're here.
Wait, wait, wait. There was also Taco Bell. We also ordered like $75 worth of Taco Bell that night.
Big spender, Heath. Really big spender.
Maybe wasn't paying enough attention to how many resources I allocated to that Taco Bell order.
You really know how to pick up women, Heath, clearly.
The way to my heart is actually, that is the exact dollar amount, $75 worth of Taco Bell. It can be no more or no less.
I mean, these were the days of the Taco Bell party platter nachos. You couldn't pass it up.
Fair enough. So, Tad, you are the only dad who had spent all three seasons of this podcast. When I first interviewed you, you were running for office. That was several years ago. Since then, we've had dinner together. I've been mistaken for a uncle. I don't know whose brother I am in that dichotomy. What's new at the Stratford household?
What is new at the Stratford household?
Notice how I said Stratford household and not Budrum household.
We moved into your house and you didn't even get to keep the name on
True, I am outnumbered though. Three Stratfords and only one Buttram, so.
it. So everything is kind of ticking along. Obviously, it's an election year, so we're getting ready to knock a whole lot of doors for a whole lot of people. I am still working in homeless outreach for the Ward 2 office for the city of Tucson, which is amazing. And it is, by the way, just like really cool and phenomenal to like be doing that kind of work every day. As somebody with my disability, I think that it's unique for women to do what I do. I think I might be the only woman who goes out alone to visit encampments the way that I do. I don't believe there's any other female outreach workers who do that. And then to be the only one who's deaf doing that, full stop, period. Like that's it. Like that is so cool. So that's what's new with me. What's new with you? I haven't talked to you in a minute.
Yeah. I now work for an organization called Rural Arizona Engagement. We do a lot of civic engagement, encouraging people to be involved in the electoral and the lawmaking process, as well as voter registration. But I just realized one of the biggest things that's happened in our household is both of our kids are now on the honor roll list. Yes, so we are very proud and very happy. That's our latest development. Not the most exciting, but
No,
exciting for us.
listen, you don't understand. People will be excited about that. People will be excited. People care. You guys care, right?
Your kids are adorable. Tell me, Heath, what is it like being the college member of your family?
Oh man, the tallest member. You know, there's lots of times when, you know, I'm a stepdad. There's lots of times when we just feel like a family. But then when people look at us, they see three people around 5 foot and then me at 6'5", and they're like, something doesn't quite fit. So, you know, often I forget that I'm taller than the rest of the family, but it gets
You tell more stories like that. Could you have a bunch?
the other day, Tori and I were just in the kitchen and I was helping her get something from the top shelf, and then I ended up walking around on my knees for a while because I wanted to experience what it was like seeing
Oh my God, you
the
are such an.
world.
Okay, first of all, I'm thinking of a hand gesture. It's not a peace sign. Okay. It's not. But also, like, people still do think that you are the kid's dad. Like, when we go out in public, like, it was the kid's dad. Like, and I get comments on our posts, and people like write me messages all the time saying, like, you would never know that he's not the kid's dad because, like, they just, like, everyone just looks so close and chummy. So, yeah, suck on that, Buttram. You're stuck with us.
I remember Valentine's Day this year. I was marveling over this photo. Let me try and unblur my camera so that everyone can see this photo.
Oh, I love and that one.
The caption is, "Dear God, we look like an eHarmony ad."
We do.
And my response to that was, "Hope you two lovebirds are enjoying a day and night that has your name written all over it since time began." And Kat said, OMG, that is so sweet in all caps. Heath, you said nothing.
That was excellent delivery.
That really does, that sums it up. Why, like, so why are you so ashamed of our relationship and why don't you love?
I mean, to be fair, I have posted more since we started dating, I think, than I've probably posted in the last decade.
I don't want to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it. It just looks like I'm love bombing you on the internet. But I, like, at the same time, like, okay, I feel that I am a little bit gross with how I present our relationship on the interwebs, because I tend to be, I don't know, when I'm happy and when I'm in love, I share that. And also, it is worth noting, I'm just going to show you this, for our anniversary, which is tomorrow, but since tomorrow is a Thursday, and this Taylor Swift themed dinner is not until April 12th, this is what we're doing for our anniversary. We're going to a Taylor Swift themed dinner up in Phoenix. I'm very excited. But, like, I do think, like, you know, Taylor Swift, when she's, like, in love, she really puts it out there. Like, she wrote probably 5 albums that were almost exclusively, "I don't like Kanye West, and I really, really like my boyfriend Joe." Like, that was her last 5 albums. And I think that's actually, like, a cool way to be, because even when it goes up in smoke, wasn't it just the most beautiful music you could make?
Wow. I couldn't have said that better myself if I tried, and that's coming from a grade A hopeless romantic. Thanks for up shooting me on my own podcast. Anyway, so Heath, what is it like being so tall than everyone else on the planet? Have you fought Godzilla, King Kong? What is it like being a transformer?
Well, one thing that was interesting is when I took Kat home for the first time, you know, back to South Dakota to meet the family, she quickly realized I'm a little tall, but I'm kind of average for the men in my family. We're just a tall bunch up there. Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes at the grocery store, you get asked to take things down from high shelves, which can be really weird when a random person comes up to you and you're not sure why at first.
It was me. Like, I don't know why he wasn't sure why I was coming up to him. Like, it seems obvious. I can't reach. And the last time I climbed the shelves, there was that incident and they told us that we're not allowed back at Costco.
Strangely enough, though, it's easy to kind of like blend into a crowd at this height, because Kat will tell you we met in 2018, but really we'd known each other since 2016.
Nobody okay, that, that's not true. Nobody believes you, and it's canon. It's been established over the course of multiple podcasts that we met in 2018 during the midterm election. So, like, just because you're tall doesn't mean you get to be loud. Be quiet.
Wow.
Trouble in paradise.
Are you guys just like a revolving couples therapy that just magically works out every hour?
We do kind of work through things like in that similar cadence, yeah.
Wait, what kind of cadence? Sorry, I missed part
where,
of it.
Where we just kind of go through something and work it out and going.
Our fights and stuff?
I don't know. What were you referring to?
I have no idea. I just said something that I thought sounded interesting, tried to apply it to your dynamic, and here we are. What I said was, are you two like ongoing couple therapy section that always works out?
Ongoing couples session that just always works out.
Oh, I don't think we are. I think because we have so many ups and downs. We ran for office in 22. Like I say, I ran for office, and it was certainly my name on the signs. It was my name on the ballot, but it was my partner helping me cut turf. It was my partner helping me do field. It was my partner helping me stay on task and managing my campaign. And running for office is like one of those things that is so, so stressful. And we were doing it as working class folks. We were doing, like, we're still working class, that didn't change, but like we were running for office as working class people. And I was running for office as a kind of a really newly deaf person. And at the time I hadn't even, like, now I have these really fancy hearing aids and I can almost pass for a hearing like 90% of the time. But before that, like it was a lot less great. And, you know, there were just so many challenges during that time. And of course we came up just short on election day. And so like, just that's like, that is a relationship stressor. And I have seen relationships just break apart under that kind of pressure. And I'm not going to pretend that we had like a perfect relationship through that. I'm not going to pretend that we had a perfect relationship after, because we had plenty of conflicts and plenty of arguments and plenty of just like phases where it felt like we weren't quite, you know, meshing the way that we always have. And, you know, people just change and evolve and go through things. But I think the coolest thing about like our relationship is that at the end of the day, like we know that that kind of stuff is smaller than the bigger picture. And we know that because now with the hindsight of like, yeah, you know, a couple years, really, we can look back at that time and see, oh, those things that we were fighting about like that day were really small, actually. Those issues that we had then were not everything. They weren't the be all end all. And they're not really what we remember when we look back on that time. I remember how amazing he was, not all of the little squibbles we would have. I'm sorry, that was so long-winded. But
no, that was truth talking right there.
Thank you. But like, yeah, I present us as the perfect couple on the internet. But the truth behind that perfect couple is that there are fights and there are issues. And I don't know if you've ever tried having an argument with a hearing person when your hearing aids have died, like, because these things have to charge every night. Like, have you, like, frustrating. What are your thoughts, Heath?
No, I mean, that's kind of it. You know, we've always got this kind of strong structure, and realizing like the day-to-day disagreements or the little things that come along the way often are going to pass. They're going to move along. And you know, talking about our what we went through when you were running for office and as things developed, I think it's also offered us a lot of opportunity to grow together. You know, we're not two individuals that are dating. We've grown a life together and grown and expanded it together.
Oh, that was a good line.
That's what I'm here another... for. Very end. I said, that's what I'm here for. Just like our first dates. I'm here for the one line.
Yet, I talk for what... half an hour and then you come in with the impact.
Yeah, and what I was going to say, and yet another reason why I have to marvel at how he'd got to be so tall.
Just for like listeners out there, like how tall are you?
I'm 6'5". I'm my dad was 6'6" though, so I was always shorter than him.
Nobody feels sorry for you. Like nobody.
Amen.
Oh, but like I don't know if anybody like no, I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but Heath's entire house is made for tall people. Everyone in this house, the second tallest person is my 13-year-old daughter, Tori. She's 5'1". That is like, so the second tallest person to 6'5" is 5'1", over a foot shorter than. But so the countertops are taller. The shelves are taller. We have like a guideline, or not a guideline, I don't know. Like I refuse to hang up. I do the majority of like the way that we have the chores divided, I do the majority of folding the laundry.
I do everything else.
He does. kind of does. I like we have the chores divided up. The kids do the dishes for the most part, and the kitty boxes for the most part, and then I do the laundry and probably the majority of the cooking, and then Heath does like everything else, which is a lot. like just think about like everything else that there is to do in a house, and that's usually I make the beds though.
I love that you've gotten here from we have tall ceilings.
I'm so sorry. Cut this out.
But yes, we have 12-foot ceilings, which I love because I grew up in a trailer house, and you know, my ceilings were about 7 feet, 7.5 feet. So I would be taking off my shirt, and more than once I broke the light in my bedroom growing up. So I can do jumping jacks. I can do whatever I want.
How often do you do jumping jacks?
Well, never, but I could.
So you're compensating. Right, Heath?
Oh, definitely overcompensation. I do not need walls this high.
Yeah. No, it's a joke because when I first came in, like one thing I noticed is that, like you can see behind us, there's like nothing on this wall. And this is what his entire place looked like. There was nothing on the walls. Like it was, everything was furnished.
Well,
like,
it's easy to move when you need to move if you don't put stuff on the walls.
This is what I deal with. But so there's nothing on the walls. Like, and it's not like one of those situations where you come into, cause like I've dated men before, believe it or not. And like, sometimes you walk into a guy's place and it's like a disaster and he doesn't have a bed, or he just has like a mattress on the floor. You know what I mean? Ugh. Like, so there are guys who like, are not like, fully grown or something, and so they don't have any furniture. So this wasn't that. He has furniture. He has a coffee maker. I was marveling. I was like,
I have a coffee maker.
You did. You had a coffee maker. You had two different kinds, and I didn't know how to use either one. but like, I marveled and I bragged to all my friends. I'm like, this is a real gentleman, because he has like all of his stuff together. His house is like fully furnished. His bed is in a bed frame. Like, so, but I did notice he didn't have anything hanging on his walls. And like, to just juxtapose with where I was living when we first started dating, I was living in this 100-year-old bungalow near the university, and I had it decorated. I tend to go for a very cozy style of decoration. Like I have lots of pictures on the walls. It's very like quirky and eclectic, and it kind of feels cozy. Like the room is hugging you. In a nice way, not in a claustrophobic way, but it just feels homey. And the way that you feel when you walk into Heath's house before I had my way with the walls, that sounded bad, before I decorated.
What you gonna say, Nick?
But so when you walk into Heath's house, it almost feels like it feels bigger and way more like open because of how bare the walls are. And I realized like that's the fundamental difference. I like to feel like my house is like warm, like a warm hug, and he likes to feel like his house is a cold, empty, open igloo.
I do like the cold. It's the cold is nice.
Yeah, that's because you're from like Southern Canada.
but now we've got the perfect mix. So we've got some art on the walls, but also some blank space. It's a good compromise.
Oh, you have blank space for now.
So Heath, what did your family do besides walk like giants?
Actually it lends itself well to being larger folks. I was a fifth generation cattle farmer. So my family has been raising beef cattle in South Dakota for the last 150 years. And that's kind of all we've really done. So really me branching out, you know, moving to Arizona and being involved in politics, it's definitely a change. You know, I grew up on one of the old style family farms. So it was a lot of working with the parents, the cousins, the grandparents. And you know, I would hope now that I do get some good marks. I feel like I get some good marks from my coworkers about my ability to resolve disputes. And that comes from the fact that, you know, when you're working with your close family day in and day out, and then you go to the dinner table and you're sitting there with the same people, you just have to learn to work things out. So that's kind of my background.
Oh, is that why our fights always resolve? I knew it wasn't me. I don't have those kinds of resolution abilities. Like I'm like talking us up. Like we're such a good couple. We always resolve it. It's not me. It's him.
Heath, how do you rage cattle in the stratosphere? And when do you ever come down?
South Dakota is the best place for raising cattle. Of course, anybody anywhere that raises cattle will tell you their place is the best. But you know, we've got good forage, we've got good weather, and dang, I miss the farm now. We got to go visit soon.
It was 5 degrees below zero. Well, what are you talking about? Good weather.
It was a pleasantly crisp walk though in the -5 degrees.
Did you say pleasantly or unpleasantly? Sorry, my hearing's going.
Lots of layers. The key is layers. And yes, you have to buy the tall ones. You have to buy the tall layers.
Oh my word. Okay, so fantastic farm story for y'all. Okay, so we land in Fargo.
Yes, Fargo.
So we landed in Fargo.
One of us was prepared.
Yeah, so we were So we were visiting for the holidays and we had my son with me. My son chose to spend the holidays with us in 22. And I was excited. It was my second time visiting South Dakota, but my first time going for winter. And he did warn us. He's like, it is supposed to be 5 degrees below when we land. I'm from Indiana originally. So I'm like, I'm all prepared. I'm going to be fine. Like we had a polar vortex in 2013. So I think I've got this actually. And so we land and Eric and I like put on our coats. We put on our shoes and everything after we get through airport security. And we're waiting on Heath, who is just taking forever. He is like slowly, like he's getting dressed. Like he's Marie Antoinette. He's just putting on layer after layer. Like, and so he finally gets done and Eric and I are just sitting there tapping our toes, like, gosh, hurry up. And Heath is just like, you guys sure you're ready? And we're like, we're just going to the truck. We're fine. It's the parking lot is right here. And it really was only like halfway through the parking lot that we have to walk with our luggage. So like, we're talking about a distance of just a, like maybe 100 yards tops.
Maybe, yeah.
And so But we, the door, the sliding doors to the airport open, and I'm like, it was like being plunged into the coldest water you can imagine. It's just
refreshing.
It sucked the breath out of my lungs. My soul left my body.
Yeah, it does hurt your lungs.
Just casually, yeah, it does hurt your lungs. But so we, my poor son and I are just like shivering, shuffling our way to the cold through the snow. I'm wearing, I wore these cowboy boots I got from like Payless from the kids section. Cause you know, what can I say? I'm visiting a farm and I wanted to look authentic. And they're just slipping and sliding all over the ice. They've got no grip on them at all. And we did make it to the truck. I did survive that barely. And
oh, you missed the part where I started with gloves, a scarf, a, you know, fur-lined hat, plenty of warm clothes. And by the time I got to the truck, I had been stripped of all of my warm clothing.
Nobody stripped you of anything. You were being so dramatic. You just needed to give up your gloves. Was my child supposed to suffer frostbite in those 100 yards?
Good point. Very good point. A point only a mother can make.
Yeah, don't be selfish. We made it to the farm and they wound up having to lend me, they lent both of us snowsuits. And fortunately, Heath has just a bevy. He probably has like around 20 little cousins who are all like little girls under the age of 10 or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. Just like they herd them like cattle on the farm, just like 20 little cousins. So fortunately, one of these 10-year-olds had a jumper that fit me perfectly. So I was able to walk around in the snow again. And that's how to survive.
What's it like shopping in the kids section? Is it convenient?
Cheaper? It's cheaper, but the clothes don't last as long. Things aren't as
good.
And then like my proportions are different than a child's, so that can be difficult because like if you're buying clothes for somebody who hasn't like hit puberty, you're just gonna have different proportions. So they just need to make, you know, like, I don't know, a tiny person store. But, you know, sometimes I'll go to the American Girl doll store, but the clothing is just too flashy. And so
You really failed that office quote. You were trying.
Nab it. Oh, God. Can I start over? Can I start it over?
That was a good effort.
Thank you.
Wow.
Sometimes the clothes at Kids Gap are just too flashy. And so I am forced to shop at an American Girls doll store to buy clothes for life-size colonial dolls.
That was closer.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, of course, I've seen you two in person, but tell us some of the weirdest, and you alluded to this earlier, some of the weirdest reactions you've gotten when people have seen you two together.
Some of the
weirdest reactions when people have seen us together.
People comment on our height.
Because of the height difference.
People do comment on our height difference a lot. I think when we first started dating, I think occasionally people thought you might be a parent to me. I think that may have happened once or twice. I don't think anybody commented super directly, but just the way they interacted with us, I think maybe I've gotten a couple more wrinkles or something, because I don't think that's, I haven't got that impression in a while.
Oh my goodness. It's not a comment anyone made, but boy, when we're packing to go somewhere, putting a suitcase together, I am an envy of how many more clothes you can fit in a suitcase than I can.
Get over it. You don't like, because here's the thing. See, women, we just don't have as many ways to express ourselves, because apparently I can talk for 20 minutes at a rape apologist and like not get and still not make a dent, but you can say one sentence and have this huge impact. So you don't need as many clothes. I need more clothes because I have to make more impact.
Okay.
It's self-expression.
Damn.
Yeah, that was good.
Damn.
That was
damn,
that.
Damn, damn. So you guys are quite the Halloween aficionados in your costume pictures every year. Please tell us how you choose your costumes and why you choose to copy bomb on social media with your obtained cuteness as a couple.
I am so glad that you asked this question. I have been waiting for this question my whole life.
This is the rest of the interview.
Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah. So we're talking about Halloween now. Okay, so Halloween gets started, like, being planned the second that Halloween ends the previous year. So like,
she's not joking.
I am not joking in any way. I tend to do like at least 4 costumes every year. I think for 2020, I only did 3 and I felt like a disgrace, but I was working on the Biden-Harris campaign. And you have to remember that Halloween 2020 was 3 days before Election Day. So like Halloween was busy, but I still showed up to Biden-Harris headquarters dressed as a Victorian vampire, then changed halfway through the day to be Alice in Wonderland. And then I was late for our nighttime team meeting, only like 2 minutes, but he never lets it go. I was late for our nighttime.
Typical man.
I was late for our nighttime Zoom meeting because I was changing into a costume. I was dressed as Artemis, the goddess of the hunt. And also, like, for those who don't know, Heath and I worked together on the Biden-Harris campaign in 2020. So sorry about all the mess. We're trying to do much better. but yeah, so that was like probably the most low-key Halloween I did. And then I think our first, what did we do for our first Halloween?
Ooh, oh gosh, was that my Groot costume?
That was your Groot costume. Okay. I'm trying to remember.
Start with your costume.
Oh my God. So I did a bunch of Halloween costumes that year. Probably the showstopper among my Halloween costumes in, that was 21? That was 21.
Yep.
In 21 was I dressed as Kate Winslet from Titanic, but I hand sewed my costume.
Hand sewn, yeah.
Yeah. Sewed by hand, my costume, which was an exact replica, or maybe not exact, but close replica of the outfit that she wears when she does the whole Jack, I'm flying bit. And it sounded just like her. Really nailed that transatlantic accent. But so that moment, and I had the shawl, the blue dress, the jacket and everything. And then I also made this railing out of PVC pipe.
It was amazing.
And I had a cardboard cutout of Leonardo DiCaprio from the movie that I Velcroed to my back so that it would look like he was like about to lean in for a kiss. And I also had clipped a Bluetooth speaker to the back of my sash so it would play the Titanic soundtrack. So, you know, that was for an office costume contest.
And I think you won the $50 gift card.
Was it? I think it was only $25.
Oh.
But, you know, the stakes couldn't have been higher. So I had to go all out.
Obviously.
But I spent so much time on that costume and a couple other costumes.
And I was assured that my costume would just be taken care of. All I had to do was show up.
Okay, you could have done something for it. But so I thought the most perfect costume for us to do for our first couple's costume would be Groot and Rocket Raccoon from the Avengers.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, first of all, they're part of the Avengers universe. Everyone knows that they're the Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, would you? My first job was in a comic book store. Are you trying to mansplain fucking comics to me? Can I swear on this podcast right now? God damn it, Keith. Anyways, so by the time This is why I need more clothes than you. Because I'll say, like, I'll write an entire book with my mouth here, and then you'll come in with one line and try and derail me. But so for the group costume, by the time everything was said and done, I was exhausted and didn't have time to make a full group costume. Not to mention, they were out of like Warbla and the other materials like foam core that I would use to like carve out a group costume. So I really kind of, I may have phoned it in for this one. It's probably the worst costume I've ever done, but also the best because it's so bad that it comes all the way back around and comes back to look
So
good.
my costume ended up being a single piece of brown fabric over my torso, and then a small flower crown juxtaposed with the hand-sewn beautiful Titanic gown.
Okay, but I was dressed as Rocket Raccoon. Okay, so but you also had a name tag that said, "Hello, my name is Groot."
Yes, that helped. That really did add to the outfit.
And so my Rocket Raccoon costume though was like I was trying to go as like, you know, because it's Halloween and you kind of sometimes kind of do a spicy version of a costume. So this was that. So it was like shorts with the raccoon tail instead of like the pants that he wears. And I had this like cool leather holstery looking thing and this orange top. And it was a look. And I had the raccoon face paint, the raccoon ears. I even had like raccoon glovies. And I shoot, I'm not even sure what it's called when thingies that look like bullets or
Bandolier.
that's what I said. So I had a belt that was a bandolier, and yeah, that one kept falling off all night. But like nobody got either of our costumes, even though your costume literally said Groot on it. We still got asked all night what the heck we were supposed to be, and I repeatedly got called a furry.
Well, I bet that made but some interesting conversation later that night.
I have never been so cavalier with a Halloween costume since the next year. I think we did a big steampunk thing, because our family does like a family costume a lot. So we did a steampunk family costume, and then this last year, he and I went as oh, I've also dressed up as you for Halloween, Heath.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, do tell me every little detail about that.
I would be thrilled to. So this is in, so after I in 22, I actually got really, really sick. I have a rare genetic condition that we now know is called hemochromatosis, and it causes iron overload and it can make you pretty sick. So I was really sick. And so I was doing a lot of costumes where I would just dress up and take a picture on my front or on the back porch. And that way I could kind of still participate in Halloween, even though I wasn't able to really leave the house. So one of the costumes that I came up with was I got this curly wig because Heath has this very tightly curled hair that will become an afro if he doesn't go to the barber regularly. He tends to wear a lot of these button-up t-shirts that are like the t-shirt length sleeve with these quirky prints. And so I happen to have this quirky printed blue, navy blue button-up with like oranges on it, that had short sleeves. And so like I just threw on straight leg jeans, brown shoes, the wig, and the shirt, and I was like, I am now officially travel size Heath.
The travel size really.
I remember that picture quite well.
And so this year we're actually planning on flipping it again, and I'm gonna dress up as him again, and he's gonna dress up as me. He'll be party size or sharing size me.
Oh,
Oh wait,
yeah.
I don't like sharing size. That But yeah, party size.
Ay, caramba.
Oh,
Mamma mia.
We do still need to do Blades of Glory.
We do still need to do Blades of Glory. So we also wanted to do, I don't know, have you ever seen Blades of Glory?
Let's assume I have.
Okay, so just for anybody at home who hasn't, Blades of Glory is from an early 2000s movie with Will Ferrell and the guy from Napoleon Dynamite, whose name nobody remembers now. So sorry to that guy. But so they play male figure skaters who get kicked out of the league and they can't compete anymore. But one crazy coach finds a loophole. They could be figure skaters again and compete again, but they could do it as a couple. So they become like the first male-male couple to compete in the Olympics or whatever. And they have these crazy costumes. Their first skate together, they do, it's called, like, they have a fire and ice theme and they skate to Aerosmith's, what's that name of the,
I don't know.
The song from Armageddon, the don't want to close my eyes. I'm singing.
I don't want to mention that.
Yes.
Yes.
So they skate to that and it's really awkward and funny. And it's just one of the funniest scenes in the whole movie. And they have these ridiculous skin tight costumes. One is like very, if Elsa was doing figure skating kind of themed. And the other one is like the heat miser from that Christmas movie. And so they're both like just ridiculous costumes, skin tight, of course. And just covered in like flames and ice and just ridiculous. And those will also make an appearance at some point.
You know, babe, I never pictured when we got together that 3 years later, we would be on a podcast describing the cinematic masterpiece that is Blades of Glory.
That's the tagline for this episode.
So a few things I would change about Heath.
Yes.
Height.
Yes. Well, we'll get to that. Birds, drop the H, take the K. I mean, it would just be so easy.
It would be. It would be. And you know, I grew up in the age of a house phone, and my dad's name was Keith. So, you know, people would be calling to do business. And I was, you know, 7, 8, and I'd say, oh yeah, I'm Heath. And then they would go into stuff that was completely over my head.
Wow. So, Heath, I am your father.
Yes, it's true.
And yeah, I would like 5 inches of your height back. Because I must have made the wrong deal with God when I got shrunk. Do you know what it's like to ever be short, Heath?
I was in third grade, so yeah.
How tall were you in third grade?
Actually, I was average height. I grew about a foot in sixth grade, so.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Maybe not a foot. I pushed it pretty good, though.
I would believe a foot. I would buy.
Wait, we've only listed one thing. What are the other things we're going to change about me?
Oh, no. Your...
Oh, two, yes.
Madge name and your height.
I can do something about the name. We can change the name.
I like Heath because I really like toffee and I really like chocolate, and that's the Heath candy bar.
Yes, Heath candy bar and Kit Kat. Wow.
Oh Kit my Kat gosh. Is easily one of the worst candy bars.
We could be the Heath and Kit Kat candy bars for Halloween.
Wow.
It will still be fun size party size.
Oh my goodness. You just helped us discover our next Halloween outfit.
Oh, everything I live for is coming true on this podcast.
You're going to have to show up to the party with us dressed as a whatchamacallit bar. No, wait, you could be a Reese's Keithies.
Yeah. So, Heath, Why have we known each other for like 15 years and you've never, ever, ever taken me out for a beer or coffee or lunch or anything?
We're not at 15 years yet. It's only been 11. It's only been 11 years.
Debatable, but answer the question.
We've also never skydived together. We've got a whole checklist we got to go through.
Yeah, we do. What?
I said you're not allowed to go skydiving. Not until he adds me onto his like life insurance or something. You know what I mean?
So that brings me to, sadly, to the end of the interview. We just have way too much fun here whenever we talk. We could easily make this a 5-hour episode. We won't, but we could.
Just know, listeners, that we are keeping that in our pockets, so don't act up.
I say we need to do one over coffee. 2-for-1.
Yet, absolutely. So if there are any self-advocates, political operatives, or emerging hopeless romantics out there, what would be some action steps you would give them to really embrace their true calling as you two clearly have done?
Oh man, I feel like, because if you know anything about me, then you know that I didn't start off anywhere near where I am now. So I guess just remember that the journey is very long. Because when I started out, I was a single mom and working as a waitress. And I started organizing events to counter protest, like a literal hate group that was carrying Nazi flags. So that was how I started out. I just saw a thing that I disagreed with and wanted to disagree as loudly as possible. And so I guess I want to tell people to disagree as loudly as possible when you see injustices in the world. And don't be afraid to have that voice, to be that voice, because when you speak out, you're not just taking up space, you are creating it so that other people just like you, who maybe you have been too afraid to pick up a microphone, can also pick up that microphone. And when it comes to the hopeless romantic part, I guess my biggest piece of advice is don't settle for that guy who just has a mattress on his floor, because there is a guy who has he won't have anything on his walls, but his bed is in a frame, fully furnished, 2 types of coffee machines. You won't know how to use either of them, but he's out there.
The only thing I would add to that is don't ask out the girl until you've purchased the bed frame. So you might want to wait 3 years.
<That's so bad. laughs> I just laughed so loud I got feedback in my hearing aid.
Oh.
That would smooth. Why are you so smooth? Like butter, you're already too tall and too chill. You make every other guy feel bad about himself. Anyway,
I hope not, because he's actually like, he's a huge dork too. Like, I mean, I want to make that clear.
True. If it were just me on my own, it would be, you know, these awkward lumbering sentences. But that's part of the reason we work so well together, is we really come to an answer. We come to a conclusion together.
Wait, did you just say lumberjack?
Did I say lumberjack?
Oh, you said lumbering sentences. Because actually you create these lumbering sentences, like even with me here. I'm just here to save you.
You just bail me out when I get too deep into one.
Exactly.
lumberjack is a thing we'll get into much later.
Over coffee.
Over coffee.
Yeah, over coffee. So the last question that I always in on is, I hope that both people with disabilities and those who have yet to discover and embrace their own disabilities listen and now watch this podcast. But I'm not naive enough to think that both groups take the same things away from each episode. So as my esteemed guests, what do you hope that people with disabilities take away from this episode? And what do you hope that people who have yet to discover or embrace their disabilities take away from this episode?
You should go first, because I'm going to be wordy with it.
I should go first?
Yeah.
All right. I would, even hearkening back to the previous question, I think one thing I was going to highlight is, you know, always nurture the relationships around you. You know, thinking to the previous question and this question both, you know, with being a self-advocate, if you're a disabled person or someone hasn't yet discovered their disability, just always try to invest time and effort in the people around you. Because, you know, when you're going through the ups and downs, and I mean, even if you look at the previous interviews that Kat's done and the last one that we did together, you can hear a lot of the ups and downs, and we get to this point where we can joke and play around the entire time. And part of that is just really investing the time and the effort and the strength of a strong network around us, I think.
Yeah, I like that. And, you know, when it comes to like what people take away from this, if they are watching it, I hope that they take away the knowledge that it's allergy season and that's why I'm blowing my nose so much. But in seriousness, for people who are disabled, who are listening or watching, when I first began to lose my hearing, when I first developed like this really debilitating condition that made it so that like there are days when I can't walk and there are days when I'm just so sick, and I felt like I really couldn't keep going. I hope that people take away from this podcast, just in general, that they can and they should, and I hope that people do keep going, and I hope that people who are living with disabilities know that they are heroes. And you know, when it comes to relationships, which I think is something that we talk a lot about on this podcast, when we're on anyways, when I became disabled, I found myself having a lot of resentment towards people who are fully abled, because, you know, when you lose your hearing, there's such a, that loss of communication can make you feel so lonely and isolated. I lost friends. I had people just like straight up, I lost friends and family. People just stop talking to you when you can't hear them anymore, and they don't make an effort to accommodate what you need. And it can be just heartbreaking, and, you know, it's really challenging. And so I hope what people take away when they look at me dating this like full hearing over here, I hope that people know that like not every abled person is, you know, ableist, and not every abled person is going to treat us so differently. We are at the end of the day all human, and we're all here and we're all just trying to make it. And so I hope that people see our relationship and realize that like love can transcend those disabilities. And I hope that people who are fully able, who are watching this, see that too. Like, take a chance on somebody who is disabled. You know, so many of my friends who are deaf or disabled are on the dating apps and are frustrated because as soon as the person they're talking to on the apps finds out that they have a disability, that person sometimes is just ready to check out. They're like, I'm sorry, that's a deal breaker for me. I'm not going to learn sign language. I'm not going to learn how to like sort through all of that. It's too much of a challenge for me. I hope that abled people watching or listening to this see that like we're actually pretty cool and we are full humans and we are capable of just outstanding true love. And that's what I hope people get from it, I guess.
And I can say it is definitely worth taking a chance.
Wow.
You're so thirsty for me.
Well, you both are in Arizona, so we should all be thirsty. Oh, wait. Anyway.
Stay hydrated, friends.
Yeah, stay hydrated. So the last question I have for myself, because let's do something new, is Magic 8 Ball. Can I ever make enough fun of Heath?
Oh my goodness.
I'm so excited. We're like both leading in.
You want to know the answer?
Obviously.
Find out next time on Cliffhanger.
Great ending.
We'll see you next season, Deacon Cini.
Love you both. Take care.
Love you.
You have been listening to Disability Empowerment Now. I would like to thank my guests, you, our listener, and the Disability Empowerment team that made this episode possible. More information about the podcast can be found at disabilityempowermentnow.com. or on our social media at Disability Empowerment Now. The podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts or on the official website. Don't forget to rate, comment, and share the podcast. This episode of Disability Empowerment Now is copyrighted 2024.